Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, Sign Guy and QT with you here on another Sunday afternoon. Real quick before we get going today, some show notes if you're looking for wrestling. Blue Collar Wrestling, like usual, at the North Portland Eagles in Portland, Oregon. Smash Wrestling in Toronto, Ontario. PPW in Denver, Colorado. HHO in Williamstown, New Jersey. NEFW in East Hartford, Connecticut. And HOW in Royce City, Texas. Without further ado, I would like to welcome our guest this week. He is Prince Akhenaton. Prince, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, since today's your first time with us, we're going to start you out with our traditional first-timers question. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
I really wish I had a more interesting story for you, but I don't know. It's very rare this is an interesting story. Just a lifelong fan. I really wanted to see if I could withstand the training. And at first I didn't. But, you know, eventually I stayed with it. And, yeah, and here we are today.
Now, what was it about the wrestling training that made it difficult for you in the beginning to get through? Was it the physicality aspect of it? Was more of it mental?
It's definitely more mental. Although, you know, certain guys, I've been in the ring with plenty of new trainees and new students, and you see some guys are just naturals at it. I definitely was not a natural. You know, I didn't, it was like 3 or 4 months before I could even take a good back bump. Everything else just sort of fell into place eventually. But, you know, it never... I tell kids to train now. It never gets easy, but it gets easier.
Now, you, of course, have been around for a while, and in addition to wrestling, you have also become an author. You've written several poetry books that are out there. What led you to go from wrestling to writing poetry books?
Well, I've always written poetry. This was just sort of an experiment to see if, to see if I could. And I did it, and they're out there, and the answer to the, and, you know, the big question was, would anybody care? And the big answer to the question was no, nobody cares. But, you know, they're out there if anybody wants them. They're going to be a part of history forever. And it felt kind of good to just get something out there and produce something. Because sometimes, you know, you get so involved in the wrestling bubble, you're like, I don't really do anything else with it. I don't really do anything else in my life. I don't produce anything else. And I produced something. Was it anything great? I don't know. The reviews have been good. The sales have been pretty slow, though.
Well, hopefully that will change and you'll see some copies get moved to the right hands. Now, you, of course, and a lot of the promotions where you go are not the most popular of people among the fans. Do you find that the fans may stay away from the books because of what you do in the ring, or do you think that maybe isn't having a bearing on the selling of your merchandise?
No, not really. I mean, you know, I get cheered in plenty of other places. You know, I've been a good guy. I've been a bad guy. I've been something in between. I do feel that I'm something of, I think this is going to sound pretentious, but I'm something of an acquired taste, and that's where the nickname the Cult Classic comes from, where if you understand the Prince Akhenaton character and what I do, I think a lot of people tend to appreciate it, but the problem is a lot of people just don't understand it. And that doesn't make them stupid. It doesn't mean that my character is so nuanced and wonderful that it takes a genius to understand it. It's just a lot of things come at you. You know, people's attention spans are short. There's a billion wrestlers out there. And, you know, not everybody stops and looks over everyone. But as far as what interests people enough to sell it, I don't know. People aren't into poetry. People don't like ebooks. I don't know. Could be a lot of things. For a while, I heard that people didn't think that the books were real. They thought it was some sort of a rib or some sort of weird post that was just a joke. But no, they're real. They're out there.
Now, you wrestle a lot of times in states that have athletic commissions, and athletic commissions vary quite a bit from state to state as far as what regulations are in place, how strictly they're enforced, how often the commission deals directly with promotions and the athletes. What are your feelings just in general of wrestling commissions as it relates to the current 2018 professional wrestling?
I can see both sides of it. To be honest, I don't wrestle in that many states with commissions, not on a regular basis anyway. New York is pretty much the only one that has a real athletic commission still in place where you need a license to run a show and they take your blood pressure before a match and things like that. Pennsylvania have to have a doctor on premises, but other than that, it's kind of the Wild West, and that's how I understand people that are pro commission. Because, for example, New Jersey got rid of their commission in 1997, and any idiot with a couple hundred dollars can rent a ring in a building and run a garbage show that ruins independent wrestling for everybody. You know, there are plenty of Elks Lodges and VFWs in the state that never want wrestling again because somebody ran an event where they stiffed the building on money, they stiffed the fans on refunds, something bad happened. Maybe it was too violent, maybe it was bloody, maybe they damaged furniture or something like that. And that ruins things. So a commission can prevent fly-by-nights and people from ruining it for everybody. Now, on the other hand, if a commission becomes oppressive and over-regulates sports entertainment, it becomes less entertaining, you know? I don't personally see anything wrong with intergender matches. I don't think there's anything wrong with bleeding in a match when used judiciously. And these are things that, you know, athletic commissions can get in the way of. And I don't think they need to get that granular with stepping in. You know, obviously the safety of the athletes is important, but so is protecting the business. And, you know, the business has been, as far as protecting the business in general, it hasn't been protected. It's been exposed in the bottle, but I think commissions can help out from state to state.
One of the things that wrestling has tried to emulate a little bit in recent years is mixed martial arts. You see a lot more emphasis on submission holds and a lot more MMA style gear and a lot more MMA style type of matches popping up in certain promotions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the submission based wrestling, are you a fan of going that route as far as a lot of submission-based holds being applied, trying to get the submission, as opposed to previous eras in wrestling where submissions were there but maybe not as important as a aspect of the sport so much?
I don't know. I felt like submissions have always been important, but maybe to expound on the issue a little bit. When I first broke in you know, the 2000s, early 2000s, UFC was very wildly popular, way more popular than professional wrestling. And it was two schools of thought. It's like, well, MMA is popular. They see what a real fight, a quote unquote real fight, looks like. So you can go one of two ways in pro wrestling. You can up the entertainment aspect of it and do things that will never be in a real fight. Hurricane Rana, the springboards, hardcore wrestling, that type of stuff. Or you can be more legitimate, and you could put more submissions in there. You could put more, less emphasis on characters and be more serious and be more mixed martial arts about it. I think the mixed martial arts crowd won. It's definitely overall. Obviously, there are exceptions throughout independent wrestling and even exceptions sometimes on national wrestling. But definitely more serious, and it's definitely less characters, and everybody kind of looks the same, and nobody really stands out. And to me, it's less interesting. I'm more of a character guy. If you've ever seen me wrestle, I'm more character-oriented, more about entertainment, more about show business. And is that going to die out because MMA is popular? I don't know. I don't know if it'll be this way forever. The business goes through cycles, and it's not just cycles in popularity. It goes through cycles of what's in demand. Hardcore wrestling's not in demand anymore. It's still there, but it's not what it was in 2000, in 1999.
Agreed with you there. Now, obviously, you, like we said, are not the most popular of guys with the fans based on some of the actions you've done in the ring before. But
yeah, and I disagree.
Anyone
with you,
that's been around for any length of time, they're going to have a few moments that stick out as really special moments they've had with the fans, where the fans have really touched them in some way, or they were able to especially touch a fan as far as making their day or whatever. Do you have any fan moments that stick out in your mind as being really special moments?
With a specific fan? No, I don't. I can't recall touching any specific fan, literally or figuratively. But, you know, fans enjoy it. They enjoy nonsense sometimes. They enjoy a palate cleanser. You know, when I am a good guy, so to speak, I bring the funny. So if you have a hard-hitting match before mine, or even a lot of times at Ace Pro Wrestling in New Jersey, I would often be right before the main event. So there would be some hard-hitting Haas match with guys like Starrcade or TJ Marconi, and then after that there's another hard-hitting, brutal match with guys like Dan Moff or Steve Mack, and in between you have a fool. You have a fool like Prince Akhenaten, and providing some laughs or some levity in between these two really tough matches, you know. And that goes to similar to what we were talking about a minute ago, the three-ring circus theory of professional wrestling, that there is something for everybody. So to that end, yeah, I never had a prolonged good guy run until then, and it's worked out pretty well.
In the history of wrestling, we've seen several princes. You've had Prince Iakea. There's been Prince Tonga. There's been several princes throughout history. Who would you say, discounting yourself, might be the all-time greatest wrestling prince?
Off the top of my head, I guess I'd have to go with Nana.
Not a bad choice.
Really, what's that?
Not a bad choice there.
Yeah, I mean, other than the two you named, that's the only other one I could think of. That's, you know, off the top of my head, at least.
Now, wrestling here in 2018 has seen a really big influx of ways that fans can follow wrestling. There's a lot of streaming services out there now where fans can see more independent wrestling from all over the world, when before they had to be in a specific area in order to see or follow promotions that they were wanting to check out. And you also have a lot of companies getting television deals, such as MLW, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor. They have major nationwide television. Is television something that you've done a lot of, and do you find yourself having to alter the way you do things if you are on a television shoot as opposed to your standard house show?
Well, I mean, that's a loaded question. There's a couple things to unpack there. I always kind of chuckle when anybody on the independent circuit uses the word house show. To me, they're all house shows. Now I'm not talking about MLW and Lucha Underground. To me, those are national promotions because real television. Whereas a lot of places, you know, that I wrestle for, and this doesn't make them bad independents, they're just smaller independents, have public access deals or possibly a local affiliate. And, you know, that's great, but television has changed. More people are more likely to stream a product watch it online than they are to find it on some public access station. I mean, public access is barely still even a thing. If you click through your channel guide, whatever cable provider you have, it's not going to say independent wrestling. It's just going to say a public access. It doesn't even tell you what show it is. So it can be harder to find in that aspect. That being said, video always ups the ante, whether it's television or I don't know if they still even have really DVDs, but television, DVDs, VOD, the fact that it's being recorded will always make it more important. Especially in a show business aspect, now you definitely have an audience to play to. You have to work a camera. You have to get those fans that are watching you on film into it just the way you are trying to get the fans that are in the audience with you as well, or against you, depending on your role or position in the match. And, you know, I think it's going to be an interesting time because who's going to win? Who's going to win in this Wild West where the wrestling fan consumes content in a different way now? Well, all fans consume their content differently. And it has changed the bubble. I don't think the bubble of wrestling has gotten any bigger. You know, those who say that wrestling's in a boom period, I think they're idiots. This is definitely not a boom period. However, within wrestling, independent wrestling has gained more prominence. So it's not that the bubble's gotten bigger, but the independent part within it has grown.
In professional wrestling, there are some people out there that are known as geniuses when it comes to the business. They know how to get the product out there to its maximum potential. They know how to make the most money at the business as they can. Some people are brilliant as far as the creative aspect of it. Some people have the overall packaging. I know you've come across some people like that in your career, but in your own opinion, who are some of the best minds in professional wrestling today?
At an independent level or at, like, a national level?
Either or.
All right. I mean, because I think at a certain smallness, you can be as creative as you want, but you're still beholden to certain parameters. I can put together an amazing show with what I have, but it's still only what I have. If I don't have national television, or I don't have iPay-per-view, you know, I have a crowded system of delivering anything that I were to put on today because everyone's on YouTube right now. And when I say everyone's on YouTube, I mean there is a glut of promotions getting their product out there on YouTube. There's a glut of promotions getting their stuff out there on Twitch, apart from them. I don't have an answer to that. That's why I couldn't answer that. That's why I couldn't give you my own name as an answer. I don't know, because the business has changed so much. I don't really know, and I fully admit to being a dinosaur. I don't know what would necessarily get over on a national level anymore. So it's hard for me to say who's a great mind in the business today. I don't know.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is with us, and I'm sure he has questions as well, so I'm going to pass things over to him for a bit.
Sure.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Prince.
Hey, Cutie, is it?
QT.
Oh, okay, Cutie. Sure.
The QT stands for quite terrific. Yes.
Okay.
Well, Prince, I saw your YouTube video entitled Vinny Pacifico versus the Prince. Akhenaten Warrior. Am I saying that right?
I'm sorry, which one? Oh, Prince Akhenaten, yes.
Warrior, and it was unreleased, Volume 2. Am I to understand this took place at the Warrior of Wrestling Training Center on Staten Island in New York?
That's correct.
Wow, okay, all right. Have your boots ever given you ingrown toenails?
No, my feet have actually learned to curl up into the toe of the boot, so it's a little known fact.
Okay, all right. Well, on this Warrior of Wrestling Training Center, are those Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazines that line the wall of the training center, or are they class photographs of Warriors of Wrestling alumni?
Neither one. They are posters of their previous events.
Oh, previous events. Okay. How much could an autographed previous event wrestling poster go for? Have they ever been appraised?
It depends on whose autograph you have on it. I mean, if you're talking about an independent event, probably not much. But if it's an old classic match card with Andre the Giant or something autographed on it, yeah, a couple hundred.
Hey, not bad. Not bad.
Cool.
Has the Iron Sheik ever stopped by the Warrior of Wrestling Training Center? The Iron Sheik?
Well, I mean, I'm not that intimately acquainted with the Warriors Wrestling Training Center, but not lately. He hasn't been in the New York area in at least 10 years, I got to say. He doesn't travel like he used to, unfortunately. But if he happened to stop there years and years ago, he may have.
Wow, all right. Okay. And now, in that match with Vinny Pacifico, you told the ref, "Let my clothing go. Take off my robe."
This match was many years ago, so I do kind of forget. Thank you for reminding me of that.
Oh, okay. Well, the ref said no because he said he was in position of authority. And then he took off the commoner's Vinny Pacifico sweatshirt that had probably been under the famous CBGB punk rock bar that had seen Blondie, the Talking Heads, and the Ramones during the 70s.
There you go.
My question is, why did the ref take off Vinny's sweatshirt and not your robes of the finest Egyptian silk that had probably been at Anwar Sadat's palatial estate during the 1970s Israeli peace talks?
Can you write my Instagram posts for me? You make me sound great. I think he just did it to be a jerk to me. That's got to be it. That's got to be the reason.
Whoa, a jerk. Okay. Can you recall the name of this referee?
If it was the Warriors tapings, might have been Rob Blatt. He's a great referee over there, I do have to say. Even if he was being a jerk to me, he's one of the better referees in the area. Or it's quite possible it was one of their students. I do know that their students would often referee matches before they were ready to wrestle.
Oh, okay. Well, yes, there was another referee at another one. I'm not sure if he was cheering on Vinny or you, but he was at ringside during the match.
Oh, there you go. That was a very young Vinny Pacifico, too. Vinny has gotten so much better, and he's so much more in demand. I know he's done tours of England since then, and he's shown his face in Canada. He's one to watch, you know, and I was very happy to wrestle him at such an early age of his career, you know, and you knew the talent was there from the beginning. It just needed to be massaged correctly. So, good for Vinny.
Wow. Okay. How about how young was he during the match?
Teen, I would say. I think that was within his first 20 matches, I would say.
Wow. He may have still been in high school.
It is a very good chance that he was.
Wow. Now, being a wrestler, especially an indie wrestler, while you're still in high school, that's a popular way to get the chicks at the high school. It is.
Yeah. I would assume so, but I wouldn't know. I got into the business after high school. Fun fact about that match that I do remember, though, a still photo from that match found its way into a documentary about Sami Zayn. I have no connection to Sami Zayn, neither does Vinny, as far as I know. But they used a picture of us wrestling at that particular match just to say, this is what independent wrestling looks like. And I thought that was so peculiar.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. Nice.
Yeah, there you go. Fun fact. I don't know how fun it was, but it's a fact. So.
Now, speaking of that sweatshirt or warm-up jacket that Vinny had in the ring that the ref did take off, and may have been under the bar at CBGB's. Have you yourself been to CBGB's, the landmark of Bowery?
I have not. I'm sure I've been by it plenty of times, but I have not been there.
Oh, okay. Wow, all right. Okay. Well, Prince, Vinny had on a white boot on his right leg, a black one on his left. Were you surprised at his leg wear? And why didn't the ref check them before the match for foreign objects?
Well, you know what? Like I said, I think that referee had it in for me from the start. But I will say this, you know, Vinny's fashion potential. There's a recent picture of Vinny that I know has been online of him wearing a suit jacket that just has stormtroopers printed on it from the Star Wars movies. And it was definitely a fashion don't. So, you know, Vinny, he makes some fashion risks. And, you know, mixing up his leg wear like that, I guess he was just trying to find something that worked. You know, being new in the business, kid needed the signature. That wasn't it, so he kept looking.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough. Okay. Well, Prince, you had Vinny in a camel clutch at the 3 minute and 53 second mark.
I didn't know this would be inside the actor's studio, Prince versus Vinny, but keep going. This is an interesting interview. Go on.
But he made it to the rope a second later. My question is, were you a big admirer of the Iron Sheik from Tehran, Iran?
He has managed me plenty of times, and he is a character. And yes, I'm a big fan of him, but I'm more a fan of the Iron Sheik on the Howard Stern Show than I am in a wrestling ring.
Oh, he was very good on the Howard Stern Show. Yes.
And he was always very helpful as a manager, offering me some last-minute words of profanity before I would hit the ring. So very helpful indeed.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right. Well, Prince, you got Vinny in a torture rack at the 5 minute and 12 second mark, and you held him there for a good 5 seconds. My question is, do you do a lot of powerlifting squats as a workout regime to develop such a strong vertical base?
I do a lot of squats. I have very strong legs. I was very overweight as a young man, and I carried around a lot of weight, so I had strong legs to start with. So leg day in the gym was always a chance for me to show off. Plus, every now and then, you know, my butt does catch somebody's eye. It's always nice to be complimented. But yes, squats are part of the exercise. And you know what? Torture rack, that's a move I have not busted out in a while. Thank you, cutie. I will remember that.
Oh, good. I'm always trying to be an inspiration for wrestlers, yes. Though I fall short sometimes, yes. Wow, very good. All right. Now, Prince, Vinny gave you a surprising bicycle kick to the back of your head at the 5 minute and 47 mark.
That must be why I don't remember it. Go on.
Oh, man, yes.
He kicked the memory right out of my skull, but go on.
The bicycle kick is well known in soccer. My question is, how did the Egyptian soccer team do in the last World Cup?
You know, probably not very well. I didn't get an invite to any parties, so I assume that means they didn't win. Or maybe they just don't like me enough to invite me.
Oh, wow, yes. I have heard through the grapevine that you do get invited to many upper echelon sporting events in Egypt. Yes.
Well, New Egypt, New Jersey, but yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. You know, now, is that close to Bayonne, New Jersey? That's my question.
Not close enough, unfortunately. But I'd say about 40, 50 minutes south of Bayonne.
Wow, okay. All right. Now, you mentioned earlier to Sign Guy that you wrote a book of poetry for inspiration and guidance. Did you contact the poet laureate Leap and Lanny Poffel for advice?
Unfortunately, no. And I have been trying to get this show down to happen since those books came out a year and a half ago. And nobody seems to be interested in putting the prince and the poet laureate in the same ring or even in the same locker room. But, you know, I know Lanny Poffel just started his own podcast, too. So haven't been booked as a guest either. But what are you going to do?
Oh, you did?
Do you know? I haven't heard it yet, but I have heard that he is podcasting now.
Wow! All right. Well, both maybe Sign Guy and I can pull some strings and try to get you on the Leap and Lanny Poffel podcast. Yes,
there you go. Try and get the match to happen too. Get me, you know, get us out there in Indiana.
Oh, now I pay big money to see or get inside information on what Leap and Lanny Poffel would put on his frisbee and say about you. That would be huge.
Yeah, you know, you and me both, pal.
Did you ever see the episode where he read some poetry to Brother Love?
Yes, I do remember that.
Oh, that's one of my more favorite WWE moments. Yes. Boy, he had Brother Love basking and grinning from ear to ear, but suddenly that grin disappeared. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, Prince, have any of your Get Hooked t-shirts led to marriage proposals in the ring?
In the ring, no, but a great number of out-of-my-league models have worn them and posted them on their Instagrams, which has resulted in sales. The T-shirts sell better than the books, probably because they're shooter words to read. But, yeah, the T-shirts have been a little successful. Not marriage proposals successful, but they have been successful.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, Prince, about how many poems does your Poetry Power Slam contain? Can you give us a ballpark figure?
Oh, sure. No, Prince's Poetry Power Slam contains 11 poems plus 11 separate stories about the poems, as well as some illustrations and a little small essay toward the beginning. And High School Heel has about the same. So there's two books on the market right now. There was a third, but it is now discontinued. So those people that were able to get their hands on it, it's a collector's item now. You might get as high as $7, $8 on eBay for that.
You know? Oh, I'd pay $8, yes.
Oh, all right.
Okay. All right.
Well, right now you can download Prince's Poetry Power Slam for free on Amazon. You can download the ebook for free until Tuesday, the 16th. So.
Wow, okay.
There you go.
All right. Okay. Well, Prince, we have had several wrestlers out here in the Northwest that have suffered concussions, and a few of them have had to retire. Are you aware of the concussions linked to Alzheimer's disease?
Yeah. Oh, wow. This show just got very dark. Yeah. Yes, I am. And it's very concerning. It's something I think about, you know, from time to time. And I do believe it's also one of the many reasons I've toned down my style over the years to be more entertaining and less brutal. Yeah, it's a concern. It's a concern for all of us, but if you're that concerned with it, you can't do it. I'm sure I've had concussions over the years, none completely documented, but I can think of at least two particular nights where I definitely exhibited the symptoms of getting knocked goofy. So, it's a concern.
Yes, yes. Wow, that's okay. All right. Well, Prince, have you ever seen the character King Tut on the original Batman series? King Tut.
He wasn't he was an inspiration for the original Prince character. Yes, Victor Buono, great actor.
I saw the resemblance in your outfit to King Tut on the Batman. Yes. Now, is it true that one of your favorite characters was the Riddler?
I was more of a Penguin Man myself, but yeah, the Riddler was great, especially Frank Gorshin's Riddler was great.
Frank Gorshin, yes. Oh, boy. You know, is it true that Jamal Jackson, a wrestler that you have wrestled quite a bit, tried to coax Frank Gorshin out of retirement for a steel cage match? That's what I've heard.
Well, I believe Frank Gorshin's going to be a hell of a trick. Jamal was able to do that. I don't know. You know, I've wrestled him a couple times. We haven't discussed Batman villains at length, but that's going to change next time I see Jamal. You can bet on it. So I'll get to the bottom of that for you guys.
I think if you could time travel, the Riddler would give Jamal Jackson a good run for his money. Yes.
Oh, sure.
Yes. Well, Prince, we have a wrestler here in the Northwest named Goblin who wrestles with a green tongue, and he seems to keep this Halloween persona year-round. My question is, do you have a Halloween wrestling – are you going to be at a Halloween wrestling event yourself?
Nothing is booked at the moment, so if anybody's interested, let me know. I believe one year I entered a Halloween Battle Royal as Captain Lou Albano. But, if anything, also the Halloween-y aspects of my character have somewhat come to an end. Not an end. They've been toned down. I no longer wear anemones. I no longer court as much of my Egyptian heritage as I used to. I'm still Prince, though. I'm just the Prince. I've become a fixture of the area of the low-level independence of New Jersey. The Jersey Hack has been a nickname that's also been thrown around, as well as the cult classic, and just Prince. You know, I've kind of come into my own, for better or for worse.
Wow. Now, has Bon Jovi of New Jersey ever tried to contact you? Bon Jovi.
I'm trying to get in touch with Bon Jovi because that would get me some instant Jersey cred. I'm a man without a country. I'm embracing Jersey and over my Egyptness. Egypt's mad at me for that, and Jersey doesn't want me. So, what are you gonna do?
Oh, okay. Well, Prince, have you ever been in a battle royal event on Staten Island where it was an all participant receives a trick-or-treat surprise as they are eliminated, but the first one eliminated receives a rock? And were you ever the first one out of the ring, and did you ever receive a rock?
Well, now, after that detailed description, sir, I really hope that's an event you're running, and I hope to be a part of it. But no, I have not gotten a rock out of wrestling. I've been offered rock in the locker room in some rougher shows, but no, I have not gotten rocks after being eliminated from a battle royal. Plus, you know, I'm the type of guy that hangs in a battle royal pretty long. I think it's because a lot of guys underestimate me. Being a veteran, you learn that ring positioning. So I'll grab a rope. Plus, I often hook myself on the ropes with my shoes. Prevents me from being eliminated. Pretty smart.
Oh, yes. I noticed you had a very good ring awareness in your match with Vinny Pacifico. Very good ring awareness. Yes. Oh, okay. All right.
Well, this has been one of the more interesting interviews. I must say, your questions are very, are they randomized? do you have a dartboard over there? But I'm having fun. I don't mean to knock it. I like it. Thank you. Thank you for having me again.
Oh.
And continue, please.
Oh, well, I take great care in keeping my questions mostly wrestling-based. Yes, take that seriously. Okay. Well, Prince, a Ray Bradbury, the author Ray Bradbury.
I keep all my questions wrestling-based. Now, Ray Bradbury, now go on. What are you going to ask me about Ray Bradbury?
He was quoted as saying, "A book has got a smell. A new book smells great. An old book smells even better. An old book smells like ancient Egypt." Have you ever been hit on the? Have you ever been hit by an old book as a foreign object? That's my question. Old book that
yes,
smells like.
Yeah. I believe I have. Yes. Unfortunately, not one of my books, but which means that one didn't even get sold. But yeah, I have been hit with books. Been hit with a lot of things. I also found out even if I had a match at one of these book festivals, I would not be the first wrestler to have a professional match at a book festival. That's already happened. Abdullah wrestled somebody at some book festival in a Louisiana in like 2004 or something like that. So, more trivia for you. It's got nothing to do with me.
Wow, I wonder if one of the books that hit you in the head was On the Road by Jack Kerouac.
I got whacked by Kerouac. Yes, there you go.
Hey, there's an idea when you next face Vinny Pacifico. Hit him in the head with a book On the Road by Jack Kerouac.
I'll whack him with Kerouac. That's if they book me with him because, you know, Vinny's a big deal now. You don't want to waste Vinny Pacifico on Prince Akhenaten. I'm for the mid-card, pal. I'm the mid to lower mid-card. Vinny Pacifico, he's upper mid-card now.
Well, hopefully you can find an old book that smells like ancient Egypt. That's what I'm getting at.
There you go. Well, you don't want to know what my books smell like. Well, you know, download them to find out. So.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Prince, Anwar Sadat was quoted as saying, "Most people seek after what they do not possess and are enslaved by the very things they want to inquire." There's no question here. I just thought I'd mention that.
Oh, well, all right. Yeah, I was there when he said it. Sure.
As you can see, I'm a huge Anwar Sadat mark. Yes.
Well, who isn't? Who isn't, really? You know. He was Dusty Rhodes. He was like Dusty Rhodes when I was growing up. So, and where I was growing up.
Yes, Dusty Rhodes and Anwar Sadat did kind of look alike. That's what I always thought. Yes. Yes.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Well, Prince, The Egyptian philosopher Ali ibn Abi Talib once said, "How foolish is man? He ruins the present while worrying about the future, but weeps in the future by recalling his past."
Yeah, that's
true. That's the Egyptian philosopher.
That's,
yes.
That's every wrestler ever. Well, almost every wrestler. except for like 7 or 10 guys that are millionaires from it, but you know, most of us are in that other category. So.
Do you have any philosophical sayings in your book of poetry? That's what I'm trying to get at.
You know what? There's plenty of gems in there too. There's even a little bit of advice for some would-be wrestlers. But then again, I think of myself as a cautionary tale more than an advice giver.
So. Oh, a cautionary tale. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Is this a cautionary tale of spurned love and romance?
Ooh.
Does that have a... I mean, does that have a section in your book? That's what I'm getting
well,
at.
Well, that was more in the discontinued book. The third book was all about love and relationships, but that's been discontinued since then. It was called Pro Wrestling is Real and Love is Fake. And that's out of print at the moment, but you never know. It's out of print.
Wow. Okay. All right. Okay. And here's a question that I usually start off our second half of the show, but forgot to ask. What's the hardest knife chop you have received in the ring? Hardest knife edge chop?
There are some tough ones. I would have to go with the Patriot. Because maybe it's also me personally, because I often wrestle the Patriot and I often get chopped by him. And I do have to say he's got some of the hardest chops I've ever taken.
Whoa. Okay. All right. Have you ever met a wrestler named Madman Pondo?
I have met him. I've never wrestled him. But yes, I have met him.
Oh, okay. Now his chops are legendary. Yes.
I've heard. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Prince, here's a question that's not quite wrestling related. Would you try to break down a steel reinforced rebarb wall if you found yourself in a room with Bill Cosby and a half empty bottle of NyQuil on the table?
Oh, wow. Well, if I emptied that half into my mouth, I don't know if I'd have the strength to do it, quite frankly. But yeah, I suppose so. But then again, my plan B, you know, if I'm in the mood, I might try to make Bill Cosby afraid of me. But
yeah, I think Bill Cosby deserves a kick from one of your boots. Yes, seriously.
Yeah, such a shame.
Bill, you know, Cosby should be the one taking off your robes. Yes. In the ring. Yes. Okay.
All right. Yes, in the ring,
well,
please.
Well, Prince, do you have any Thanksgiving matches coming up you'd like to tell our fans about Thanksgiving in New Jersey?
Unfortunately, it's not finalized yet. There is something up in the air, and yeah, it is actually in New Jersey. It may be the 25th, but it hasn't been made official yet, so I don't want to give information that might change or get canceled. But, follow me on social media, at Prince Akhenaten. That's AKKANATAN. And you will see it once it becomes official.
Wow. All right. Well, Prince, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy. Hopefully, I myself can make it out to New Jersey one of these days and get a copy of High School Heel. That's what I'd like
to do. I sure hope so. It would be great to meet you. You seem like a very interesting guy. A guy,
yeah.
I would like to do mushrooms with. But go on.
Oh. They are good in a white wine sauce. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Back to you, Sun Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, speaking of mushrooms and white wine sauces, Prince, do you have a particular diet that you adhere to in order to maintain ring conditioning?
Are you making fun of me now, Sign Guy? That's not nice.
I am not. I know that a lot of wrestlers really have very strict, very certain diets.
Yeah, but if you've seen pictures of me, you know that I'm not one of those wrestlers. Unfortunately, I've never been a body guy. I should be, I do my best, but, you know, after 11 years of never quite getting into shape, I don't know if it's going to happen in my 12th year. I would like it to, but I'm not going to make any promises at this point.
Well, you know, even non-body guys often have a diet, I've noticed. It doesn't necessarily translate to the ripped guys that have special diets. I've seen guys that are definitely not body guys have a very strict diet. It seems
I do go vegetarian 3 or 4 days a week. You know, not out of any ethical concerns necessarily, just out of a detox, really. But that's because I go pretty hard 3 days a week with you know, fried food, alcohol, other gimmicks, as it were. But you know, you try to detox those other 4 days, keep the body on an even keel, and really I try to make up for it with training. Because if there's anything I've enjoyed over the years, especially working with younger talent. As we discussed blow by blow in my match with Vinny Pacifico, you know, I like to keep an endurance for a quote-unquote fat guy, for a quote-unquote older guy. I like to have my endurance about me. I like making these younger guys more tired than me, or tired faster than I would get tired. So through yoga, through lifting, through various athletics, Boss Life Athletics has been training me for a while. They're a great trainer. So I just try to keep myself in shape, in ring shape especially.
One of the things that a lot of wrestlers enjoy doing is tag team wrestling. It's sort of a different mindset to do it successfully than standard singles wrestling. Is tag team wrestling something that you enjoy doing very often?
Yeah, I do, actually. I've had a lot of great partners over the years. I do enjoy being a part of a tag team. Or a trio. I enjoy trios as well.
Another type of match that a lot of wrestlers have opinions on both sides of the spectrum, is the Battle Royal. I know a lot of wrestlers do not enjoy doing them. A lot of wrestlers really look forward to being in Battle Royals. Where do you stand on the Battle Royal match?
Well, you know what? It depends on the event. If I'm trying to win and have an impressive showing, it's tough. It's tough to stand out in a Battle Royal with 20 other guys. But if it's a more relaxed atmosphere, Battle Royals are a great place to play pranks. So, you know, especially with new guys. So, yeah, either way, I enjoy a Battle Royal. It's a, you know, I'm a people person who punches people. And it's a great chance to do both of those things, meet people and punch them. So, yeah, plus any exposure is good exposure, I suppose.
Now, QT mentioned your boots earlier, and wrestling gear is something that a lot of guys really take a lot of pride in, and they go out of their way to make sure that they have good quality wrestling gear. Over the last generation, a lot of people have gotten away from that, and they'll wrestle in jeans or gym shorts, tank tops, that type of thing. You always seem to have really good custom gear.
Oh, thank you.
Where do you go to get your wrestling gear made, and who actually does the actual designing of said gear?
Well, I pretty much come up with the designs. The gear's actually made by a wrestler out over here on the East Coast named Brawley, B-R-O-L-L-Y. Brawley doesn't wrestle as much as he used. You know, he makes a lot of gear in the area. He does a pretty nice job. He does not make the boots, though. You know, the boots have come from various places over the years. Nobody has done an exceptionally good job, so I don't want to give anybody credit on air. But, yeah. And I've designed most of it. You know, the single strap has become something of a signature at this point.
We have a wrestler in our area that used to travel to the Midwest and the East Coast semi-regularly, named Diafula Debashi. He has boots very similar to yours. He's a Yemenian American. Are you familiar at all with Diafula Debashi?
Unfortunately, I'm not, no.
I would suggest maybe I would look him up, maybe a potential tag team.
well, I don't know. You know, see, you know, I've been in America for over 11 years now. I've started to like America, and that sort of causes a rift between me and other foreign wrestlers, you know, especially ones that don't care much for America. You know, I've really softened in my old age, I guess you could say.
Ooh.
Well, there's also a potential grudge match with Dabashi.
Well, there you go then. Let's book it. You know, I'll be on the next plane out to Oregon. So
that would be great.
Sure.
Now, we talked about some of your merchandise out there. Has there ever been any of the bobbleheads that were so popular in the 2000s and the early teens?
Nope, but if they were cheaper to make, I would love to stock them. Unfortunately, that's a matter of supply and demand. Like we said, the cult classic is a nickname and it has meaning, but that also means my stuff doesn't sell quite as good as some of the other independent wrestlers in the area.
A merchandising can be very interesting at the independent level. I've seen a large number of very creative things that have made their way to merchandise tables. What's been some of the oddest things that you've seen wrestlers trying to sell to fans?
There have been just there were some light up batons that looked pretty cool. I did used to have some 3D printed eyes, like similar to the Eye of Ra that was on my tights a couple of years ago. I 3D printed a couple of these little plastic things. They didn't have any particular purpose, though. They were just a hunk of plastic that looked like an eye. So not one of my better ideas, personally. But, yeah, Wild West, that's the crazy thing about wrestling. You could laugh and laugh and laugh at this, but you always got to wonder, what if it had worked? Because when it works, well, then they're laughing all the way to the bank. So I would never be too hard on anybody that has a weird gimmick idea. Hopefully it works for them. Hopefully they make some money.
Now, also, promoters have often come up with very unique ideas. You've seen everything from all-steel cage shows to a lot of all-women shows on the independents to all-midget shows. There's been several different stipulation matches that have been very interesting, to say the least, on independent shows. What would you say has been the most unique promotional idea that you've seen?
Well, I do know I used to have, there was a particular promotion, again, Ace Wrestling, had a championship just for multi-man matches. There had to be a minimum of four guys in the match for the title to be defended. So it was a lot of four-ways, six-ways. I think there was even an eight-way once or twice. And I held that belt for a while, which I was happy to. I was proud of that, especially because it generally went to more high-flying, cruiserweight-type wrestlers. So that was a nice promotional tactic. Another one I came up with once when I put together a card. Let me see if I can remember the exact stipulation. It were team colors. It was two matches going on at once, essentially. So you and I would each wear a red jersey. Two other guys wear a yellow jersey. Only I can pin you, and only you could pin me. You can still fight whoever you want, but only you can eliminate me, and only I can eliminate you. But once you're eliminated, then anybody can eliminate me. So, and then it's till the last man standing. It was a little convoluted. So you try so hard to be innovative that you kind of forget. Maybe there's a reason some of this stuff hasn't been done. But, you know, you're out there taking swings. Maybe it'll be a home run. This one wasn't.
Well, we have come down to the final few minutes of the show, so I want to give that time to you. If there's anything you'd like to say, plug and promote anything you want, social medias, upcoming appearances, merchandise, your favorite bookstore, whatever it might be, floor is all yours.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me, both Sign Guy and Cutie. It was a great time. Follow me, Prince Akhenaten. That's Prince, P-R-I-N-C-E, Akhenaten, A-K-K. And that's how it is on Twitter. That's how it is on Instagram or Princegram, if you would. You can add me on Facebook, but I don't pay attention to Facebook that much anymore. And, yeah, that's about it for social media. Upcoming dates, Sunday the 23rd in Rutherford at Felician University for Rescue Mania 2. Rescue Mania 1 was in March, and it had over 1,200 fans in the building. It was a big one. This one's going to be just as big, if not bigger. I believe I'm stepping into the ring with former NXT star Bull James, which is going to be interesting. You know, we go way back, me and Bull. It's going to be our first time wrestling each other, though. We've known each other for years. We've never wrestled. Also, let's see, the 29th, I will be in the Hudson Valley in New York. What's the name of the town? Greenwood Lake, New York. I will be wrestling CJ Riley, newcomer to East Coast Pro Wrestling. October 7th, there's something in the works, but I can't announce it yet, not official. Then October 27th, Nutley, New Jersey, IWA, Ironbound Wrestling Alliance, Prince Agonon versus Everett Cross, the God of Drivers. What else we got? Like I said, November 25th may or may not be up in the air. You'll hear about it on my social media. I feel like there's one more. Oh, yes, October 13th, Staten Island, New York. Again, East Coast Pro Wrestling, Prince Agonon versus Ben Benedetto. I'm not sure what to say about Ben Benedetto, but ECPW in Staten Island, going to be a good time. And those are my upcoming dates immediately. As always, follow me on social media. Check out my poetry books. Download Prince's Poetry Power Slam for free. For free. Until September 16th. Then it goes back to the full price, which is only $3. Please spare $3 for an ebook for a struggling independent wrestler. Buy a Get Hooked t-shirt. Message me for details. And as always, I'm looking for bookings. Hit me up. Let's talk. We do some business. Been around for 11 years. Been in the ring with many Hall of Famers and some up-and-comers. And I'm happy to be doing what I do at whatever level I'm doing it. Just enjoy the journey. And to any independent wrestlers, that's my advice. Enjoy the journey and don't date in the business. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
It was our pleasure to have you. Thanks very much for taking the time today. Fans, if you get the chance to see the Prince in action, buy yourself a ticket. Go see him. Very, very good at what he does. I think you'll enjoy him immensely. We will be back with you next week. Next Friday afternoon, we will have former WWE referee Wes Adams. So make sure you join us then, and we'll be back with you next week.
See you.